And we're live.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a... I tried to come up with something clever right there, and damn it, I can't do it. Beyond Retro, episode 22 here. And with us is Nathan Kennedy.
And hello.
And myself, Tyler Baker, and we're here to go beyond retro here, and... damn it, man. I feel like I'm trying to... We're going to be talking Karate Kid here today.
It's like when I'm trying to do the thing about the links at the bottom of the video.
Hip and humorous. Like, you know what? We're going to be talking about this kick-ass masterpiece that's right behind me right here. So, you know, we're here to, you know, express our memories. God knows there's been tons of videos on YouTube of every Tom, Dick, and Harry saying how much they love it this and love it that. And we're going to try to be a little different and get a little bit more in depth of why this is such a masterpiece of a film that continues to get better and better with age as far as merchandising and people quoting it and celebrating this film and eventually bringing these characters back. And we'll get into that later on in this episode as well. But we'll kind of do what we normally do is just kind of let everyone kind of express their beginnings of this or how this film came into your life. Did it have an impact at a young age? Or was it an older age? And what have you, because it's always fun to hear about people's first impressions of the things we talk about on this show.
First, I wanted to say one thing. Do you have a poster of every damn movie? This is insane. Anytime we got a topic, damn, Tyler's got it right there. It's like fucking magic.
Some of the stuff that we've talked about, like, I do have a Conan the Barbarian poster right behind me here on the other side, which I just decided to mix it up and change my rotation because I do have an original Karate. This is an original, but this is not a reproduction of the Karate Kid I have behind me here.
Of course,
I got $20 back in like the early 2000s on the early days of eBay.
Yeah, this is going to be the day where we're going to talk about one of the most obscure movies. Like, let's say, hey, let's talk about Rawhead Rex. That was a great, crazy horror movie. And Tyler, boom, is going to have a poster. Like, how the hell did that happen?
No, let's see, when we finish each episode and the times that we tease what we're going to do the following week, like, Tyler immediately goes to eBay and starts searching for a poster and gets it rushed to his house so he can set it up and he can look cool. Like, Joe's got his collection behind him. Me, I just got, like, wood paneling leading to an attic and a My Little Pony that's not mine, but people probably think it is in the background. Tyler's like, oh, look at this wonderful poster.
And Joe doesn't bother to change his setup at all. Makes you guys a hell of a lot more cooler than I am.
No, I just sit here.
Kept my ass sitting in the same room for almost the majority of Beyond Retro. I'm like, you know, I'm going to switch it up a bit. I've got a poster for the project. Make sure I put in the background with a different room, different lighting, everything. And somehow I'm an asshole.
Well, you know, and it's funny. He looks like he's always in a different move. And I'm sure people are clever and they can look at what I'm doing each week. Do you notice I'm slightly turning the camera angle a crumb? It's like, oh, I'm.
And Joe is, oh, he's so cool, man. He's going askew this week.
I mean, I should just like take my stuff and start setting it up like over here. It's like, oh, there's some VHS tapes and everything like over there in the corner, and like, oh, there's like all that stuff.
Is that the poster? Oh wait,
right. Stuff like
that. I was gonna say real quick, we got Chris Simpson, JSP, the Jake Juggalo, and Tamara Shipper on the chat room. Thank you for joining us. But real quick, Nathan, was that the pole string Freddy Krueger that I seen when you were?
Oh yeah, yeah. The one that.
Hi, I'm Freddy.
Who released that figure?
You know, I couldn't tell you. The reason being is I got that when I was a kid, and I still have that same thing, but I remember it was pulled from the toy shelves because that was when parents were having an uproar saying, you can't have a child killer be a doll that kids want to collect. That's wrong. And they pulled it off the shelves.
Yeah, I asked for it for Christmas.
Yeah, and I got mine for my aunt got it for me for my birthday. I remember her giving me that. I was, man, just freaking out. I just liked that when he go, ah, ha, ha, ha. And he'd so have cool. Like... Yeah, he had about four or five different phrases. And Cristobal Davila is here in the chat room. So thank you for joining us. So, well, there, that's our quick little starting off side rant. You guys know we're going to do it, whether it's the beginning, middle, end. We always have these rants and happens all the time. That's what makes it special.
That's what makes the 80s so ballsy, too. To, you know, it's been talked about many times, but to have toys of God knows, any kind of, movie hero with that specializes in weapons and knives and things like that, such as, Commando and Rambo, and you get Freddy Krueger being marketed to children with a 1-800 hotline.
Call Freddy, yeah.
And, it was just, God, it was a unbelievable time to have grown up when you had so many different, almost because you felt like everything was essentially real to you. Like when wrestling was all, you always said wrestling was real, that Hogan's really going to beat Earthquake and so on and so forth. Thing really did make Ric Flair give up in the Scorpion Deathlock. I'm like, oh my God, when you could really call Freddy Krueger. You could.
I remember that you could call Freddy, you could call He-Man, you could call some of your wrestling superstars. But I remember Freddy. I remember going over a buddy's house, and that's when we didn't understand about the prices, about, this first minute and the second minute, and we're just listening to him to talk and scares, and we felt like Freddy Krueger's. And then and that next month, his mom had like a $150 phone bill, and I remember I got in trouble, of course, with my parents. I had to sit there and help pay off. We split it up 50-50, but... Yeah, the things that they had, you're right. They sure don't have that stuff nowadays. It doesn't seem like it. Of course, I'm not looking for it. But
I'm kind of surprised that like the phone company wasn't like, oh, well, it's fine, and took it off the bill.
Well, no. I mean, when you're calling those 1-900 numbers back in the days, that's it. I mean, that's you call them, you're going to pay. And you had to call, and you paid to listen to Freddie talk to you. Like he was really speaking to us. We're so stupid we think he's really speaking to us. And it'd say the same message probably over and over. I think they switched up the message a couple times, but we're so stupid we kept calling that damn number.
Yeah. I think it would have been funny if it was like he's saying stuff, but if they ask you to say your name ahead of time and they have like all these automated names, so it like has that little pause break and it's like, well, I'm coming to get you, Joe. That would have been kind of cool.
He didn't bother to stay in character. He just repeats, Joe. Nathan,
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, and also, your buddy popped up, Nathan. SSJ Mitz is in the chat room.
Yeah, I hope he's not too hungover today.
Oh, you guys had a heck of a day yesterday? There's a story
to tell. I haven't really heard all the details on it yet, but I'm hoping that he's feeling all right today.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess, yeah, story you might...
Tyler's just sitting there like, come on, guys. Can we please talk about the fucking movie now, God?
Oh, no, I expected you guys to be talking about, did you guys get the list, upgrade on PS5.0? It's, oh, man, yeah, it was great. And it's like, threw the controller down because I couldn't get the controllers right. And it's a piece of shit. And I turned it back and about choked everybody in front of me. And,
well, hey, you know what is a piece of shit? The Karate Kid video game.
That is a piece of shit, yeah.
That game's terrible. All right.
Well, go ahead. However you guys want to start it up. And yes, Chris Simpson, I will have to get a new ass sometimes. I do need an upgrade. The Jake Juggalo in the chat room, he made a real good one of my mask. And, hell, might have to make me one. Seems like his was more durable than mine. But there, just had to acknowledge that real quick. So, Nathan, Tyler, however you want to start, go ahead. Let's start with some Karate Kid.
We'll let Tyler start. Tyler, when were you first exposed to this film?
This is one of those films that, for me, it's up there with the He-Man movie, Predator, Jaws, Ghostbusters, that has been so much a part of my life, I couldn't tell you the first time I saw it. I went as the Karate Kid, I think my third Halloween as a child. It's just been in my life for God knows how long, so I couldn't tell you the first time I saw it. It's just been one of those movies that's just been cemented into my brain that I've seen it so many times. It was at an age where I couldn't tell you the first time I saw Predator, Jaws, Ghostbusters, the He-Man live-action movie. It was just, it's been embedded for so long. I don't know life without the film. And pretty much the sequels, I could kind of give you an idea of when I first saw those. But this one, it's just been in my life for so long. It's just been such an impressionable movie for years that it was a rental for so many years. And then it just kind of broke away, where it kind of got to where the video stores, at least in my area at one point, were no longer carrying it. And then Columbia re-released, I think, in like the late 90s, and Blockbuster started carrying it again. I revisited the film and then fell in love with it again. It was one of those films I almost felt like I didn't know if it was going to hold up as much. And I remember like it was just great. I was like, you know what? This movie's gotten better with the age. And my brother was like, that movie's stupid. And I was like, all right, well, you go watch, Belly and DMX movies and stuff like that. The hell out of here. But it, It's a masterpiece. It's a Nathan knows what I'm talking about when I slam my brother for watching DMX movies.
Yeah. There's a picture of me that exists somewhere when we'd go out every weekend. I would just, you know, do random things to make him laugh. And there's a picture of me at Walmart where I'm just holding like 12 movies in both hands. And it's just like, man, what all was it? It was Belly, like Cradle to the Grave, like all these really shitty, like late 90s, early 2000s films. I'm just sitting there like this grin on my face.
And we go to like FYE or something, we see Belly 2 that went straight to video in the like the dump bin. Nathan would go, oh, look, tell Derek they got this here. And it was just always, you know, a joke. But I just remember when I was revisiting Karate Kid, my brother came in and started watching, and he was making fun of it. And I was like, whatever, dude. And it's just been, you know, it's gotten better. And that's when you kind of appreciate the villains in this film as too, is when I got a little bit older. I'm like, you know what? The Cobra Kai's are pretty badass. Like the logo, it's when you start kind of appreciating bad guys a little bit more as you get older. Cause as a kid, it was all about Ralph and Pat Morita. Like I just thought, you know, that it was all about, you know, sympathizing and relating to Ralph and learning everything that Mr. Miyagi teaches and everything, and thinking that Allie was hot as hell. She still is hot. God, the woman's gotten hotter with age. Jeez. She's even more hotter now than she was back in 84.
Yeah, I was, I watched it last night. And I'll echo what you were saying. Like this is a movie that gets better every time you watch it. I haven't watched it in a good, probably 10, 12 years. So going back and revisiting it, it just, it's so good. Like it's, you can see why it became like a pop culture staple and why it was so popular and why it spawned. I'm going to say two sequels because we're not going to talk about that other one.
In my canon.
And it just, it has a heart to it. It doesn't like beat you over the head with it. It's just a really well-crafted story. And that, like, it was kind of surprising for me to say that and think it as I was watching it again. Because there's most things I go back and watch, and I remember bits and pieces, and I'm just like, yeah, that's how I remember it. But when it was almost watching it with fresh eyes again. It just sort of opened up more to me. But the first time that I watched it, because it came out the year I was born, so I didn't get to see it until I want to say that my parents recorded it off at HBO. But it was the late 80s, probably early 90s, the first time that I saw it. And as a kid, you just, it's impressionable on you as a child because you're like, I don't know, you get picked on or whatever. You like, you want to learn how to defend yourself and fight.
Yeah.
What about you, Joe?
Well, me? Well, first I want to say JSP in the chat room said he first saw it at daycare in 84, 85. So that was his first experience, was at daycare. But, no, me, it was probably, I mean, when it first came out, I mean, again, I don't have that steel trap of a memory. I mean, hell, mine's pretty rusted. But I remember when it first came out, seeing the movie. And, yeah, I mean, you can relate to everything. Anytime you see something new and dynamic, you know, we were all about Bruce Lee movies back in the day. It was always martial arts movies. So it's like, oh, here's another one. But now it's a kid. Now you can kind of relate, you know, like you would emulate and imitate Bruce Lee. But for this, it's like, okay, I'm kind of relating. Going to school, you're right. You might get picked on. You got to do something else. At the end, you see this crane kick. Like, it's all building up. You know, first when you see the whole thing with the wax on, wax off, and then you see it was him actually being trained was just, oh, remarkable. But the whole crane kick, that, you know, that whole part at the end, everybody, all I remember is everybody at school imitating the crane kick. I mean, there's people actually trying to fight. No shit. Trying the crane kick. It's like, do you think you're going to hit somebody with it now in real life? I mean, in the movie, cool as hell. But you're not going to catch somebody with it at school, but everybody would try. But no, it's just a movie. Like you said, it was great. I mean, the poor kid moving from one city, you know, one state to a completely different state, you know, being from a Jersey kid to now going to like, it was California, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a vast kind of culture shock for people going from one area to another and adjusting. You know what it's like. Sometimes you move to a different area. It's like, oh, damn, now you got to learn this neighborhood, these kids, this school. And all you want to do is fit in. And sure, shit, I mean, you know, he wants to try to fit in. He sees a hot girl he likes, and it all just, it's a, it's an effect. It just keeps going and spiraling out of control from Johnny, from what happens on that beach, to just keep going and going. But I mean, it's a great movie. And what I hate is that, like how I was talking about, you know, the crane kick. Like, I have some nephews who, of course, younger nephews. And I remember some of their friends, when they first seen Karate Kid, it was like, to them, was a joke. They're mocking it. You know, like, they would do the crane kick like it's a joke. I was like, you guys just don't get it. You're not understanding this movie. And, like, what is being taught throughout the movie. I mean, like, you know, of being a balance in life, you know, just with martial arts, defending yourself, but about how simple things can turn into something greater. And it's, I just hated seeing them when they're doing that because they're mocking it. Like I said, I know that when we were at school, we were emulating the kick, and some thought they would actually use the kick, what wouldn't work, but it's not like we were mocking it, if you know what I mean. It was just emulating a part we loved in that movie, which became mockery, like, you know, with some of the kids nowadays. Like I said, I just don't think they're really understanding the movie. It's like when they made the next Karate Kid, like I told you in last week's episode, should have just been called Kung Fu Kid. But here's the thing, which wasn't making sense to me. This was all a buildup of how, at the one part when Daniel was seeing Mr. Miyagi on the beach doing the crane technique, and, you know, if done correct, no can defense and whatever, and eventually he uses it. But the part, like with the next Karate Kid, that didn't make sense to me was, I understand the part when he was looking, when he was watching that woman looking at the snake and realizing that the snake wasn't controlling her, she was controlling the snake. And so he tries to eyeball the kid at the end to make him, like, get a little confused and off his game. And then he ends with this insane flip, reverse, whatever. I don't even know what the hell the kick was. I was like,
what the hell are you talking about? Talking about the next Karate Kid?
Yeah.
He's talking about that remake.
Yeah,
reason,
yeah, that's what I mean.
Get up on this podcast.
Well, listen, that's why this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like I said, with my nephews and stuff who didn't like the others, but then they're into this new one, which I kept trying to tell them. I was like, okay, the whole buildup for that last thing, and when he does this kick in this new one, I was like, but where did it come from? It made no sense. I mean, the movie didn't make sense in general, but this kick, I was like, where did that kick come from? It's not like he learned that kick from the snake. He didn't learn it from Jackie Chan. He learned it from nowhere, and he does it. I was like, but in the original Karate Kid, the whole movie, it's a buildup of everything he's seeing eventually being used as techniques. He was being taught without even knowing.
And well, that's why the new one sucks.
Yeah, exactly. And like how
kids
you guys were
dumb now. No offense to your nephews, but kids are stupid now.
That's how I meant. It should have been a whole separate movie. But as for me, with the whole Karate Kid series, like I said, I love one. I love two. I know you guys said completely forget the next Karate Kid. It was just, that just felt off. But even the third one, which we'll get to it someday. Okay. I don't.
Especially part three, because.
I don't like three. I don't like three. But we'll get to that someday. But I don't like it.
Today, but two and three have both got problems. They both got a lot of good stuff in them. However, you know, the full execution, whereas Karate Kid Part 2's ending is a down, it just kind of deflates a big balloon. And then the third one, kind of all over the place, but the ending is quite good. You know, and we can get into that in future discussions too, permitting. Joe's like, well, no, we'll do the discussions for the sequels like another year from so. You know, we don't want to give people too much Karate Kid, you know.
Yeah, you know, like you said, we could save those. We don't want to do the whole entire Karate Kid in one thing, because each movie. No, but it's like you said, each movie deserves its own basic, discussion.
Because, you know, there's a lot to discuss in two and three. A lot of good stuff and a lot of bad stuff. But I like both the sequels enough. They don't hold a candle to the first film, because the first film is it's a masterpiece. It's an untouchable film. And when people want to come along and make fun of it or other things like that, that's when I want to take my fist and smash their head clean out of their ass, because they're just coming along thinking they're being cute and making fun of 80s pop culture. As if, so witty and hit, me and my black frame glasses and my cup of coffee here, and check out my YouTube channel, my Facebook and Twitter feed. Oh man, stupid, hashtag smartass. You know, I have no patience to talk to people who like to make fun of stuff in the 80s. I mean, as if like it's all, you know, goofy as hell. Like, no, there are some goofy stuff, but there's some goofy as hell stuff in the early 2000s and the 90s as well. So don't act as if.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of bad goofy shit everywhere, but I'm waiting for the time that Tyler's like, we need to dedicate an episode to this, and it's like 30 minutes long.
Well, like what?
I don't know. I just, there's going to be a day where you're like, oh, well, this film we need to discuss at length for the next episode, and then it's only like 40 minutes, and we're just like,
There, I can't think of a film that I could just sit and just only discuss for 30 minutes, because given that you and I, all three of us, would be on here, there's no way it would be a 30-minute discussion unless it was the Return of Swamp Thing, which I know Nathan saw once and he was like, eh, and I don't think Joe's seen that, so.
I just seen the one Swamp Thing. I think it was just the original Swamp Thing. I think I seen that because I just remembered the horrible outfits. I mean, they looked like they came straight out of a Spencer Gifts. They were pretty bad. And the music, I remembered the music, I thought in one particular one of those movies sounded very familiar. I thought it sounded like it was music from Friday the 13th Part 3 or something. And I thought I tried to research that, and it was. It was the same part of one of the sound effects, or at least the I don't know if it was Mancuso did the music for both, but I know that one Swamp Thing, the first one, I think that horrible one. I'm going to have to look into that. I don't know if I'm nuts, but I thought they used the same sound effects or soundtrack for something. I'll have to look. But yeah, Swamp Thing, yeah, that was a doozy. It was just some bad outfits.
That was just an example. But we're here to talk Karate Kid here. And I guess we should kind of break it down. I mean, and as opposed to we could discuss the villains, we can discuss the Miyagi character, we can discuss why Daniel's character is still an enjoyable character, the love interest in Allie, and the tournament itself. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff to talk about in this film. The music, not just from the pop songs, but the score by Bill Conti, who makes all three Karate Kid films that much more better because of the music. Regardless of the scene may not be that great without the music, but the music, you know, makes, and that's the point I will get doing Karate Kid Part 3, is that the music enhances a lot of stuff that does not look that good particularly.
Sure.
The music that from the training montages, from, you know, Daniel going off on his own after, God, we're all over the place here.
I guess start
from, you know, because I like to have a little cohesion to this conversation as being all over the place here. Well, let me just ask you guys, does the score stick out to you guys at all?
Yeah. It's a good mixture of, I mean, the pop songs really suck you in.
Yeah.
But, you know, the score itself, really, it just brings the scenes together. It brings out that emotion, and it all ties in and works really well.
I don't know. I mean, it does, every bit of it. I mean, especially, like I said, when the whole thing towards the tournament at the end, you know, you're the best around. I mean, everybody played that damn song, was into that. But even the peaceful music, just the music when they're out there. And like I said, when you see Mr. Miyagi doing his crane technique, I love all the sound. The score was great. I couldn't say there was anything bad about the music at all in the entire movie. It does. It sucks you in. It's like I said, it's always a combination of things. A good story, good music, well, hell, I mean, obviously something that looks is pleasant to look at as a movie in general, but when you get a perfect combination of all that stuff, that's what makes movies sometimes really memorable. Because sometimes you'd have a great movie and sometimes there's no music, or the music really sucks and it feels off. It's like, something felt like a pacing was off in this movie if the music's weird, but you didn't get that out of the Karate Kid. You didn't at all.
Yeah, it's like, it's perfectly paced. Like, from the beginning, like, the setup's just really fast. It's like, all right, yeah, well, we moved across the country. Oh, I run into this guy, which I thought it was hilarious that he's wearing a shirt with two pigs fucking and it says making bacon. Like, that was hilarious. And then, you know, it cuts to they're playing soccer on the beach, and then, you know, they're making eyes at each other and they start talking, and then, you know, here come the villains. It's very, that first 15 minutes, here we go.
Yeah, but you're right. Everything with the movie, with the music, it like parts that have you anticipating or nervous. Like when he, you know, does the thing to Johnny where, you know, squirts the water on him and he's running out the hell out of there and trying to get back home to his apartments. And as he's running to get to that fence and you hear that music and the anticipation, you're like a nervous wreck. You're like, oh, please get the fuck away from these guys. Jump that fence, you know, and he doesn't. Of course, he doesn't make it. He gets the hell beat out of him. But even that music, it makes you a nervous wreck. They just had a good way of each scene setting the mood perfectly for what they were trying to do.
It's, I mean, that's why I felt like the pop songs in the movie are all still quite good too. They're not songs that date the movie or something like that too. And even the fashions in the film don't look excessively dated, you know, everything in the movie. It just, that's why I feel like the movie, it's not like a time capsule movie that people still like to go back and rewatch. I mean, the movie is it's just good. Everything, because the songs in the movie are quite good anyway. I mean, we all know "Cruel Summer" that plays when Daniel goes to school, and you know the soccer tryouts. It's playing in the background as he talks to Allie again, and the Cobra Kai start picking on him at the soccer tryouts and stuff like that. And you got Bananarama playing in the background, but it works. It sounds good, and that was my introduction to that song as a kid. Was it the Karate Kid? And to touch on what Joe was talking, that song "No Shelter," when he decides to get a little payback on Johnny and turns the water hose on him. I used to get so excited but nervous for that scene because I knew it was going to be the scene where Mr. Mike comes in and kicks all the asses. You know?
Yeah.
The excitement and fear because they're all dressed up as skeletons chasing him and the music's going in. And Daniel's running, jumps over one fence and runs. He's so close to his apartment. And you hear them laughing. As they're closing in on him, you hear Tommy laughing. Tommy's the one that goes get him a body bag. He's got a real malicious laugh in the movie.
He sounds insane. Yeah, that guy looked insane. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's just that's what makes the Cobra Kai so great, such great villains. And as a kid, you were scared of them. You were nervous to see them come down the beach to that one particular song when Allie kicks the soccer ball away because she knows oh great, here comes trouble. Immediately tries to get Daniel away because she knows how Johnny is.
Yeah.
And as they come speeding down on their dirt bikes and they got their various colored jackets. Johnny's wearing the headband and God, it was just really sets up, man, Daniel's in for one rough ride in this movie as a kid when you're watching that. So when they finally get their asses kicked by Mr. Miyagi, it was so exciting to see him just beating the shit out of Daniel left and right. And I
like how at first he's sort of okay with it, and then over a period of time he's like, man, anytime I'm around you I get my ass kicked. So he starts just like avoiding being around her for a little bit, and she's like, well, what are you trying to do? And he doesn't really want to admit to it.
Yeah, and that's a good thing to touch on too, is that she's doesn't see Daniel is weak. She wants to help him. She realizes that her ex is a constant pain in the ass and doesn't see it as that he should avoid her all the time, which I thought was great. It builds up tension between them two. It doesn't put them together immediately because it's a real relatable issue. All of us have been to high school. If you didn't like a particular guy because he would always give you a hard time, you would do it at your best to avoid him. And if that meant avoiding a girl you like too, damn well, you'd do that too. So it adds an extra level of tension of not putting Daniel and Allie together, even though you know it's coming.
Yeah.
But it does a great way of delaying, and then they have their first date. Then that's cut short because he's embarrassed because of, he's considered poor.
That's the other thing too. Like she, throughout the film, she sees him as more than just weak or poor. Like she looks past all that stuff, and he's just sitting there beating himself up about it, because like even her parents are just kind of like looking down on him,
Yeah, those snobby rich type of people. Yeah,
but they did a good job of. I mean, that's what makes Daniel's triumph that much more greater, and that you like Allie that much more. That even when they're at the country club to listen to that really old ass music, it's like music from The Shining, but she's telling that boy from Reseda. Yeah, he's from Reseda. So what? Just that defiance that she doesn't care, which, still, when I watch the movie, where Daniel lives doesn't, to me, look like a dump. It's just an apartment complex. I used to live in a small apartment complex, very similar to that one when I was in high school. Nathan knows what I'm talking about. I didn't see it as a dump as a kid. And as an adult, I'm like, I get it, because they're from Encino, the glitzy, kind of rich area of that. I don't know. I guess it's Southern California.
Well, not only that, remember when they show up in that big old, station wagon that they have to pop in. Like, that's embarrassing. Like, I don't know if you guys, I'll be honest, I don't know if you've ever experienced, I felt so relatable to Daniel because, I've been around people sometimes where some people have more money than you and they kind of treat you a certain way. I remember some of the vehicles growing up where they did have to be popped just like that. And you're kind of feeling like, oh, Jesus, it does. It makes you feel a little bit embarrassed. I felt so bad for the kid. I mean, like I said, first, just the whole movie in general, like we said at the beginning, from one place to another. But what I don't think they ever mentioned in Karate Kid, and I mean, I'll be honest, I don't remember this being brought up. I don't think they ever mentioned his father, like if he was dead or if there was maybe a divorce and you just never seen him.
The sequel.
What's that?
His father's not mentioned until the sequel, and his father is dead.
Okay, well, see, and that's the thing that you feel like, at least in the first movie, you get a connection. Not only is Daniel, you know, he's having a hell of a hard time, you know, trying to find a friend. You know, when he first gets there to find the one buddy that he thinks he's making friends with, and then when they go to the beach and he sees him get his ass handed to him, then he kind of, that guy kind of smirks at Daniel like he walks away, because remember, he thought he was a karate kid and knew some stuff. And so his new friend, he finds friendship in Mr. Miyagi, and he also, not only the best friend he ever had, but you wonder if he kind of sees him as maybe a father, since he doesn't have a father no more. You know, it's a real bonding experience between Daniel and Mr. Miyagi.
I'd say a little bit of both. And going back on the car thing, never had that happen, but my dad did have this, like, gray, I don't even know the make and model of it. I just remember it being this big, huge-ass gray car. It's like, sort of rusted. Had leather interior, so in the summers, it was miserable. And I hated that car, and I was always embarrassed to be in it. And I remember there was this girl I had a crush on. I was probably in second, third grade. Had a crush on her, and we're at Walmart. And I see her walking in the parking lot, and I'm sitting in the car, and I just, like, duck in the seats. Probably almost in the floorboard, because I'm like, I just don't want her to see me in this hunk of shit.
Oh, it's bad. I mean, it happens. So, like you said, I guess you can see things in Karate Kid when you're seeing it. It might not be exactly the same as what you went through, but it's similar. So you feel these kind of, you know, just connections of everything. Like I said,
the one thing I found myself relating to watching it now is when he's starting to, basically what he thinks is just painting a fence and waxing cars, when he's actually learning. For me, I would have been like, all right, yeah, okay, I'll do this. And then, just like he does, at a period of time, you reach that point, you're like, what's the point of this horse shit? Like, I immediately was like, man, that is me. Like, yeah, some of the stuff he was saying, I was like, yeah, he's getting mad.
Yeah, especially when
yeah, that's me.
Right, because you think, you know, you're being trained. Like, I thought I was here to learn martial arts. Where is my training? All you have me doing is being your slave. So you would feel like, I've done this, I've done that, I've done. You just lost it, and you snapped. And at the snapping point, and the boiling point, if you will, then he finally learns. Like, that was the moment that was so cool. It was, remember when he was like, you know, show me, you know, paint the fence or sand the floor or whatever.
Yeah.
When he, you know, he's looking for someone, he's going to go sand the floor, and he's doing it in the air. And then when he first strikes at him, and bam, he blocks it. I remember when I seen the whole montage then, when he just did all of it, and he block, 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 block. And then, and he bows down. Look, I always look high. And I was like, wow, he just learned. That was a cool moment. For anybody to say that was cheesy or corny, they're not getting the movie at all. They didn't get the movie at all.
And that goes back to the story beats. Like, that flow is just so perfect. And it's, every little thing is building and building and building towards this ending. It's just, even my girlfriend was just like, they don't make movies like this anymore. And I mean, she's right. Like, occasionally you still get those films that evoke that emotion, or the story just flows bright. And this one just, like Tyler said, it is a masterpiece. Having not seen it in so long, I figured I would revisit it and just be like, yeah, you know, it's good. It's how I remember. But I will sit here and fully admit everything Tyler says about it, just completely true. And I usually argue with him on a lot of stuff and disagree with him on things.
Not as much, because Nathan and I, we have a lot of similar tastes in movies. That's kind of what a lot of our friendship was built upon, was that he appreciated a lot of the films I'd introduced and vice versa and stuff like that. There are, on a few occasions, we will disagree, but I would argue, ironically, that I don't think we our thoughts of movies are drastically different. You know, Nathan can sit through a lot of bad movies just for fun. I'm like, I don't have the patience to do this. Whereas Nathan can sit for 4 straight hours and watch some of the worst sci-fi original movies if it was on. For many, he had plenty of alcohol to get through it. Whereas me, I'm like, I'd rather go home and read a book. I don't care what it is. Just, I'd rather read a book about gardening than sit here and watch it, unless Nathan is providing some good commentary. But this is a movie that, even though it's 2 hours and 7 minutes, I think, and it feels like it's a lot longer, but it doesn't feel like a long, like, drawn out movie, because it really takes your time to not just force Daniel and Alan together, not force the friendship with Miyagi and Daniel, and not immediately throw in this, because the movie's synonymous with the tournament. scene. And that's a part that is not brought into the film till almost an hour into the movie. There is the even acknowledgement of a tournament. You know, the crane kick is something that's shown in one scene briefly. It's touched on, and that's it. You don't see Miyagi teach Daniel that. You don't. You see Daniel try it on his own while Miyagi's, you know, recovering from his hangover from the tragedy in his life. But that's it. And then when the crane kick shows up, you're like, Miyagi's, he's been practicing this. Let's see if he can pull it off here. But everything, it takes its time in building up. And especially with what we've been talking about a whole lot is how Miyagi's training methods are, is that you go from waxing the car, and it goes shows Daniel in the morning and, you know, into the evening, come back the next day, start early. And then it's okay, we're going to sand the floor. Comes back the next day, we're going to paint the fence. And he comes back and sees that he's gone fishing. We're going to paint the house, sight, sight. And at night, and that's when Daniel pulls a Nathan Kennedy and says, oh, bullshit, I'm going home, man. You know, and then to see Miyagi just snap. I was like, all right, bring your ass over here. And just tells him all this stuff. And I love when he goes through everything and then finally does the, you know, one, you know, just everything, you know, blocks everything. And then Bill Conti's music score kicks in when it clicks with Daniel. Like, he gets what the hell he's been doing. And that look of shock on his face and the music playing in the background, it just helps sell that emotional moment that, oh, my God, this guy's been teaching me all this stuff. I had no idea. I'll never question this guy again. You know, it's just one of many great emotional moments in this movie. The stuff between Daniel and his mom. Daniel's mom's not in the movie that much, but you feel for her as a mother that absolutely loves her son, believes that they can start a better life for themselves in California. And she reminds me of my mom too, just very optimistic and energetic, but very protective, you know, and just, you know, everything from when she comes home from work and sees Daniel pulling another Nathan saying, he hates his bike, hates his damn bike, and throws it, you know, that would be Nathan too. And anytime, like, or when Daniel gets out of the car because the car doesn't work, and he slams it in front of Allie's parents, that would be Nathan. You know, it just anytime Daniel loses his shit in the movie, just think, I've seen Nathan do that, or I've heard about Nathan doing it in some fashion.
Yeah. He's not wrong.
Every small relationship in this film is done with perfection. The feud between Daniel and the Cobra Kai, from the fight on the beach to the soccer tryouts, and then they don't really interact because Daniel's done his best to avoid them. He's avoiding Allie, so they're not given much reason to give him up. Of course, there are some deleted scenes where Johnny does attack Daniel in the lunchroom for sitting with Allie at lunch, which, you know, you can look up, Google that, and you see pictures of that scene. I think even the script, dialogue and everything is available to look at, too. So there is another incident, but we just never got to see it, unfortunately. But they do a great job of, okay, all right, it's been a while since they've been feuding, and Daniel decides, you know, he would like to get payback at the dance and does that. And then we're off and running to the real big payoff and meeting, you know, why the Cobra Kai's act the way they do. I forgot, you got the scene too where, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but when Daniel goes to the Cobra Kai dojo and sees Johnny teaching class and gets up and leaves and he goes and sits in the restaurant, the Cobra Kai's walk out of the dojo across the street, yeah. And Tommy looks in the window and sees Daniel sitting there.
Oh, yeah. And then he goes back and gets him and is like, hey guys, come back, and they huddle together and then they go off again.
Oh yeah.
Down at night when he's riding his bike home. I forgot about that scene too. So yep. They really do a great job of building up the Cobra Kai's. It's not just cliche bullies. These guys really enjoy picking on somebody that's weaker than them. And plus Johnny sees this guy's messing around with my ex-girlfriend, finds it justified, but you know, typical bullies, they like to amuse each other. They think it's funny to go and make, you know, I've seen it in high school, Nathan's seen it in high school, Joe, I'm sure you probably saw it too. Bullies, they like to get laughs from their buddies, and that's why you'd always hear Tommy laughing and on the soccer field when they're in, you know, signaling, you know, trip them, you know, or mess with them, and you got Bobby's, you know, giving this signal, Tommy's smiling real big, and that's when they plot to hook him on the field, and you know, and they're all just laughing at him, you know, because yeah. He's mad, throwing a fit, and he's being kicked out. And it's just like, God, this guy cannot get a break anyway. And these guys are just having so much fun because that's what bullies do.
It's also what they were taught.
Yeah.
Right.
That the weak you know, have no place among us. So anything that's weak, you essentially show him no mercy, and which I guess would be a good transition into talking about John Kreese and the Cobra Kai ways. And John's not on screen a whole lot throughout the movie, but boy, are his moments in the film so impressionable and leave such an impact of why these boys act the way they do in the film.
Yeah, he didn't even need to say anything.
Not really, no.
No, just like, you know, his arms popping out of those sleeves and his like angry butt chin, and he's just like, you know, he doesn't have to say anything, and you can tell like this guy is a huge dick, and that's why these kids are acting the way that they are.
Yeah, I mean, they're only just being taught by example. That's the way they're being trained and taught in martial arts. That's how they're going to be. And how he applies that, it's to his life. And you wonder, is that going to be applied to their life and how they look at everything, not just martial arts, but just living in general. That's why it shows. I mean, he's teaching bad ways. You know, he's a bad teacher. First, let me also say hello to Iceman Traveler in the chat room. Joined us. Thank you for joining us. But no, I mean, Kreese, like when Mr. Miyagi and, you know, Daniel, when they go in there, to basically, you know, saying, you know, leave boy alone, and then eventually, okay, then, you know, you're not going to drop a challenge and walk out of here, old man, or whatever. So, yeah, then they're going to do it at the tournament. And then, you know, remember, he said something like, you know, be open season on him and you. It's like, he was a frightening villain. You know, like you said, he's not doing the fighting in the movie, but he's a frightening villain. Like I said, it goes on to his students, which, like, the one that used to freak me out that seemed like a big dick. I mean, he looked like a punk. Was, I think, Dutch. You know, the blonde-haired one. That, yeah, man, he had such a mean-ass look. But then, even like when he's getting ready to fight Daniel, he does that smiling and bopping around like he's cocky. Like, I'm gonna fuck this little punk up. That's basically how he's looking. Like, Daniel is finished, and of course, then, you know, Daniel wins. But
I think that it was probably scary looking because he looked like he was at least in his late 20s, early 30s.
Like, he didn't belong in the movie. Yeah, he looked like...
Oh, what was that, Tyler?
As I say, I mean, Ralph Macchio was in his, I think, mid-20s playing Daniel. But to me, I almost felt like, I guess I was just so used to that, because any high school movie from the 80s and into the 90s, from Saved by the Bell to Once Bitten to... you name it, all high school kids look like young adults. Like, when you say the phrase young adult, you think that they look like an adult, but they're a rather young adult. So when you see all these, they look like high school kids to me. Of course, I didn't think Ralph Macchio looked older. I thought he looked like a 16-year-old.
No, he did look young. That's what he's known for, his baby face. Yeah.
The Cobra Kai's, I want to say, they're entering their senior year. It looks as if Daniel is just now turning 16. He's 15 when we meet him. It looks like he turns 16 in the film to enter the under 18, you know, karate tournament. So I'm assuming that all the Cobra Kai's are all seniors, because, you know, at the beginning, you know, Johnny says, you know, 8 a.m. tomorrow, I'm a senior. I'm going to make it work, you know. Not going to be, damn it. I got this movie memorized backwards and forwards. I'm drawing a blank here. But regardless, I mean, I didn't think Dutch looked too old in the film. I didn't think the rest of the cover. I thought they looked like just real pricks, every single one of them. You know, I mean,
if I was to pick any of them that did look older, though, I mean, I would say Dutch did. He just had just the face. I don't know, his face. He just looked, you know, like you said, more worn, battle worn. I don't know.
I mean, whose idea was it? It's like, all right, you need to bleach your hair and your eyebrows. Like, whose call was that?
It may have been because that's Steve McQueen's son, if I can remember correctly, Chad McQueen, playing Dutch. And I've seen like behind the scenes stuff. He's got blonde hair and like the behind the scenes stuff, like when they're just doing rehearsals for the beach fight. So it may have been something he chose to do because they're filming in California, to look like a beach guy, kind of a California.
Yeah. Well, he was only, because I'm looking up here, he was only 24. Well, probably 23 when they were shooting the film. He looks so much older, and you are correct. That is Steve McQueen's son.
Okay. Yeah, that's like the big kind of trademark about him. But I still, when I watch it, I don't see any of them as looking a lot older. That, like, the one that comes to mind is in Christine, when the bully in Christine looks a hell of a lot older. However, you know, you there's that kind of cliche in certain high schools where some troublemakers are held back multiple years because they can't get it together. So, I mean, I remember my freshman year in high school, there was a guy in his late teens, close to 20, in my freshman PE class. you know, and he looked like a fully grown adult. Like he was short and heavy and everything, but a real nice guy. But like, God, he looked like a full grown adult.
Yeah, that kid in Christine. Yeah, you're right. He looked like he was held back at least, you know, 8 times or something. I just wanted him to die.
Makes sense why this guy looks so much older, but why is he still in high school? Probably because he was held back because he's, you know, always into trouble. He's not studious. He's not looking to get out of high school. He just is a troublemaker and all this stuff.
One of the people you want to see get killed too in that movie. I remember Christine. I was like, oh, I can't wait till Christine kills him. And then Christine's on fire and I think ran him over when he was running down the road. That was pretty cool. If that's the guy you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. All right.
Buddy, that's his name. But back to John Kreese too. I mean, he's such a believable villain in the movie too. Like when you're watching this, everything doesn't come off as unbelievable. It's like, oh, it's just a product of the 80s. They're doing it to hype up the big moments in the movie. His whole philosophy, I mean, it doesn't seem far-fetched that a guy, you know, who really believes in aggression, you know, and using what I teach you is a weapon that you just inflict on people when you see fit. If you see someone weak in front of you, take them out. You know,
because you're right. It's something that, like I said,
apologies even today. So to think that what he's telling these kids is like, it's a little far fetched. I don't see a martial arts instructor today with like, doesn't seem far fetched to me. When you've got crazy, you know, ways of thinking throughout history, even today, why is it so hard to believe that a karate instructor in 1984 would be teaching his students, anybody you see weaker than him, you know, show them no mercy, beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, and like we said, I mean, that is his way of life. When you look at his other students, you know, like they start to eventually, as you see through the movie and during that tournament, are like almost questioning what he's telling them to do. They see that. They know that's wrong. That's why, you know, they know this, I should not be doing this. One does it, even, you know, at the end when he then is wiping the blood off of, you know, Johnny's nose and says, sweep the leg. And Johnny gives this look at him like, you know, back and forth with his eyes like, you know, are you fucking crazy? He's not saying it, but he's looking at him like that. He's like, you got a problem with that? He's like, no, sensei. And he goes and he does it. But what's great is then, you know, after it's all over and then you see the crane kick, you know, Daniel wins. What's cool is Johnny, he grabs the trophy, man. He takes it from the guy who's going to present it. He goes up, you know, he's like, you're all right, LaRusso. He gives him, and, you know, it's like, it's cool to see that Johnny, throughout all the shit they've been through the entire movie, through high school and out into this tournament, and losing to Daniel, you still got the heart and respect to, you know, give him the trophy and basically say, yeah, you're the man, you know, in a way, in so many terms. And that, you know, he probably earned his respect back and forth, you know?
That's no, I mean, I get that, but if that would have been me and I would have won and he would have tried to done that, I would have been like, nah, fuck you.
Yeah, I guess so.
You've, like, pushed me off a hill. You've done all this shit to me.
Oh. I'm glad you said that, Nathan. That was the one thing that out of all the things done in the movie where back and forth with the bullying and even Daniel sometimes antagonizing should have left the shit alone. But when it came to that part where they like made him go off the road and down that hill with that bike, I was like, you could have fucking killed that kid. I mean, he went down a hill. He could have snapped his neck and they wouldn't have known. They're just driving off on their motorcycles. Daniel could have been dead at the bottom of the hill and they wouldn't have known till the next day. Oh, on 11 o'clock news, a young man died going down a hill. It's like,
Let's appreciate the stunt work for that, because that had to have been pretty painful. I hope that was like a one take and done sort of thing, because I wouldn't have wanted to have done that more than once.
Yeah, that was a lot of tumbling. I mean, it was a lot of tumbling there when my mask for a second. But no, he did. That guy tumbled down the hill. It's like, yeah, I hope that was a one take shot, because that was dangerous.
I hope he got paid very well for that, too.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I never. Yeah.
When Daniel comes back and his mom gets home from work and she sees Daniel just screaming and throwing his bike in the dumpster and he's trying to avoid facing her and she's losing her temper with him, you know, why did you throw your bike? And pulls him around and sees his face all beat up and she just, you feel bad for her as a mother, like, oh my God, you know, what's happened to my son? You know, he's got a black eye, now he's got a busted up head and he doesn't want to tell her, you know, I'm getting my ass kicked every single day, I just want to go home. You know?
Yeah, just keeps running into doors.
Yeah, you know, but that's what makes their relationship that much more impactful when she's not on screen a whole lot. You know, you get them in the beginning and then she kind of disappears for the rest of the film, comes back at the end of the film. But it's moments like that which make the story that much more realistic and enduring that, you know, it's just you keep bringing him down more and more and more and I mean, just like when he gets his date with Allie, he goes to pick her up. When you think it's going to go right, her parents are judging him, and then the car breaks down in front of the house. So he's constantly got the world fighting against him throughout this entire film. Allie's friends, they don't like him because he's from Reseda, and he doesn't have a dirt bike, doesn't have a cool car. They see him as a dork, and, you know, they barely know him, but just to look at the guy, they're sitting.
Oh, I hated that one woman, or that one girl with the black hair. Must be in the fungus. Oh, I hated that.
Ugly as hell anyways. Like, who the hell? Anybody.
That's what I mean. I couldn't stand her. I was like, damn, you're awful judgy right from the snark, you snobby little bitch. It drove me nuts. I couldn't stand her through that whole movie. And then her just other friend who was there for, like, I don't know, just to say one damn line in the arcade.
Yeah. I was surprised he didn't, like, look at her at one point. It's like, why are you friends with these people?
Like, fuck off, exactly. But no, the movie, yeah, it's relatable. Like I said, it's just all relatable situations that almost everybody went through, from moving to meeting punks to the girls you're trying to get, from maybe being judged if you're too poor or just however, wherever you come from. But just a great ass movie. I mean, Karate Kid, yeah, this is the first one I just loved to death. The others, like Tyler said, sure, can I pick in certain parts apart and maybe not enjoy things as much as others? Sure, but. Again, we'll get to those within time, but no, I mean, all together, just a great movie, which first I'm going to say Butcher House Productions. Thank you for joining us in the chat room. But this, like I said, this whole discussion of this was kind of leading into what we were talking about last week also, where we mentioned that they're going to have a YouTube. What is that? YouTube Red? What did you guys call this?
Yeah, it's YouTube Red. You got to pay for it. And I don't know if this is showing up for anyone else that's watching the stream, but on my end of things, like, Tyler's little icon is just frozen there in the corner, and he's like this. He's like,
I don't know
if that's doing that. I don't know. It might just be on my end. I don't know if anyone else is seeing that too, but he just keeps freezing, like, down there in the corner for me.
Oh, I know I freeze all the time, but no, Tyler's actually seems like he's moving pretty well for me. But so this Cobra Kai series, like I said, I'm really looking forward to it, even though I'm still wondering how the hell I'm going to see it, because I don't know how much it's going to cost and if I'll be able to afford it. But the thing which we don't know much of, because Tyler mentioned there was a second trailer that just popped up a couple days ago on YouTube, and I remember seeing the first one, but I'm wondering really more of the premise of the show, meaning, okay, Johnny is basically going to open Cobra Kai again. Johnny's opening Cobra Kai. Not again, but, I mean, the first time him opening it. So, John Lawrence is opening it, and we see that at the end of the first one, you know, he congratulates Daniel, blah, blah, blah. And the second one, at the beginning, he has that encounter with, of course, Kreese, you know, as his teacher, and he's like, man, you're sick, man. And, you know, like, they have their issues back and forth. He knows what he's been taught as shit. So I'm wondering, is he opening this school with new kind of intentions of training the right way? Or from the preview, is he picking up what his teacher used to do? Because I was like, I thought you seen the error of your ways. Or throughout life, let's say all these years later, does he just revert back to it and he's going to be a prick like Kreese was? That's what I'm wondering with the series, how it's going to focus on, especially seeing how the end of one, beginning of two was, if you guys see what I'm talking about.
I haven't watched that second trailer. I've only watched the first one, so I couldn't give any sort of insight into that.
Based on what they've released, because they've done, I will praise them for this, because they've really kept everything hush hush about this series, as to like the real intimate details about it, other than the fact that Johnny, I believe, has fallen on hard times and just wants to reopen Cobra Kai, doesn't say whether or not he wants to clean its image. Like in the trailer, clearly shows Ralph's like, why would you want to open Cobra Kai again? You know, it was kind of like a Nazi dojo school, so to speak, you know. And then the synopsis also says that Daniel's been dealing with, you know, the loss of Miyagi, you know, trying to get past that. Of course, Pat Morita passed away, I think, in the mid-2000s or late, like 2010 or somewhere in there. It was not too long ago, but that's kind of their past, is that they're both falling on, you know, harder times emotionally. But it does make sense that what's the logic behind reopening a school that was even in the third film, when Terry Silver decides, you know, I bought all this property, we're going to reopen Cobra Kai all over the valley and continue to keep teaching the same methods an ideology that had been so successful before Miyagi and Daniel come in and defang Cobra Kai, according to the newspaper in the third film. So it does make you wonder, what, why would they do that? Because it appears that Johnny's changed his ways after the tournament, after he loses and Kreese gets in his face and attempts to, you know, choke him out. Why would he do that? And
is it
a redemption story? Is it? I'd like to think that they're not going to deliberately just make Johnny bad, because I know that William Zabka and Ralph Macchio are very proud of the roles they played in that film or films. And I couldn't imagine them, you know, agreeing to something that was not going to be anything but the, have the utmost respect for the roles of Johnny and Daniel. Like, I don't see this as like a cash grab or something like that. This looks, it's 10, 30-minute episodes on YouTube, Red, from what I gather. Obviously, they're going to take their time in building up why Johnny's doing this, introducing Daniel back into the fold, them coming together. I'm sure there's got to be a lot more to it. As opposed to immediately start thinking, oh, Johnny's bad again now, which I kind of
was going to say. Ralph Macchio Ralph Macchio and William Zabka? Are they the ones that are writing the show themselves?
No. They were, as far as I know, I don't think they wrote it. They just were asked to reprise their roles. As far as
I know. Oh, okay. I was wondering if, because I figured they would definitely. You know, would have some say into this, especially like, you know, the things we were discussing about the ending of one, beginning of two. Like, they would probably be bringing up the same stuff we said, like, okay, wait, you're going to just make, you know, me, Johnny, or whatever, you're going to make me a bad guy again? Don't you know what happened at the end of one, beginning of two? But I guess, yeah, it's a wait and see. I'm definitely really excited for this, and I hope it's great, because, I mean, I just love the first movie, and it's a different series that, yeah, you wonder what's it going to be, and who are going to be, you know, the new main bad guy kid and the good guy kid, because you know they're going to have to do that. There's probably going to be somebody Daniel's training.
That's why I kind of feel like, you know, Daniel being around is probably going to have some sort of influence on somebody that could be, you know, trying to take lessons at Cobra Kai and finds it a little bit questionable and comes across Daniel as like Daniel's, because they do confront each other, as we all see in that first teaser trailer, which is, you know,
so you think there could be a main kid that'll be being pulled from back and forth between them?
Where the ideology is going to be questioned, you know, where Daniel's like, you don't have to go that way. You know, I mean, like I said, there's so much to speculate, because they're given so little to go on. The second trailer focuses more on Johnny. Like, Daniel's not even featured in the second trailer. It's just pretty much emphasizing Johnny working with the students and still repeating a lot of the same things that John Kreese said. So, but he's not saying it with much intensity. So this kind of makes me curious, is that his whole approach? You know, he still believes in those methods, but they can be tweaked. Like, it can be salvaged. Everything I was taught, like, obviously Johnny became a very good, martial arts student based on everything you see him do in that first film, from the various kicks and punches. He knows his stuff.
Have they said when this is supposed to be coming out, like the exact months? Do they know the month when it's coming out, when it'll be released?
I haven't seen that. Unless I just keep missing it, I think it's just like coming soon. I may be wrong.
That's why I haven't seen it either. I wasn't sure. I didn't know if maybe you've seen somewhere I didn't.
I'm kind of curious too. Are they going to do it like Netflix, where it's all just going to be available for you to just watch, or is it releasing itself over time?
Oh, with people like you, they'll probably have to give it all at once, because you guys wouldn't be able to wait once a week. You'd go fucking insane. You're like, wait, I'm supposed to watch this and binge it in a day.
I was going to say, if they release it like all at once, because I was looking at the pricing when you guys were talking about that, YouTube Red is $10 a month. So if they released it all at once, I say we just make it.
Then I'll take
each other the login, and then we all just watch it. And then,
that way, I agree. Yeah. Spend $10 and then get rid of it afterwards. Yeah, I don't want to stretch it out if I have to pay more than that. It's like, it's $10. We're done in a month. Okay, see ya. Oh, shit. Yeah, the speculation. So we can just wonder and hope it'll be good.
I'm hoping it's. I don't see it being something that's going to be on the same level as the first Karate Kid, but there are characters that would be interesting to see. What are they doing in life right now? And bringing back Cobra Kai, that's a story. It's an intriguing story. You know, why would he do that? And I'm sure it's all going to be explained. I have faith in it. I'm not going to overexcite myself and to the point where I'm like, oh my God, where the expectations are so high that I'm sorry, whatever they did is not needed.
I was going to say, don't set your expectations too high, because that'll that always comes back to bite you.
Yeah, I don't do that for anything. You're right. It's just I try to just be really unenthusiastic, and then if it sucks, hey, I wasn't worked up. But if it's great, fantastic.
And I'm sure.
I think we're used to that.
Next Karate Kid, and I didn't see it and refuse to see it, Jaden Smith's whiny, bratty approach to being the Karate Kid with his daddy being producer on the film. You know, I'm sure it's got to be better than both of those, you know, regardless.
I've only seen bits and pieces of the Jaden Smith one. Joe, you've watched all of it, correct?
Yeah, I watched it all. Like I said, it should not have been called The Karate Kid. It should have been called The Kung Fu Kid. It was a completely different... They tried to emulate things from the original Karate Kid, you know, copy, but then they'd, of course, switch things up, the location and details, but it just it didn't have the same impact. So it was not, to me, it's not part of the Karate Kid universe, because it's not a Karate Kid. He's learning Kung Fu. So I don't even count it. Like I said, I don't even count
it. Yeah. You know, it would have been, because, you know, I've been suckered into so many remakes before just out of curiosity. And I think having set the story with a bunch of little kids, because I was assuming Jaden Smith, he looks awfully teeny tiny regardless.
Oh, they are. Oh, that's what I mean. It's younger kids that he's encountering, and now he's in China. That's where they're at. That's where the location is. But it's
I wouldn't have had any problem with changing the location. I get you tweak things here and there, but making them like little kids. You know, I felt like, well, why didn't you make it a high school story? You know, like the original, but set it in China.
If anything, it's like I said, it could have worked for what it should have been. If they would have called that The Kung Fu Kid, honestly, for me, I'd have been like, okay, for that movie, Kung Fu Kid, a younger generation in China, fine. But when you're calling it The Karate Kid, you're obviously trying to give an homage to that movie, and it's just being warped and twisted in so many directions, then you're pissing people off.
Yeah, it's kind of reaching the point where it's almost insulting. Because the only reason that happened, even though it followed that, it's like, if we slap this name on it, you get that extra money.
Just that's why people are like, okay. And that is it. You're right. That's the reason. They slapped the name on it. Oh, we're going to get extra money. Because you're right. If they would have called it Kung Fu Kid, it wouldn't have made as much money. But the thing, like, even in the movie, his mother at one point says something like, you know, you're learning karate or whatever. I forgot how she phrased it. He's like, it's not karate, Ma. It's Kung Fu. And I'm like, again, he says it. Jackie Chan says it. So why isn't it called Kung Fu Kid? I ignore that movie. I ignore the next Karate Kid because, like I said, the thought of guys wanting to beat up on women in a movie, I'm like, what? Why is this being almost like it's right? Like, oh, okay, she can fight guys and guys are going to be beating up on her. We should be condoning this. So I don't even acknowledge the next Karate Kid.
You know, a female antagonist that would come off as threatening. You know, I mean, obviously you cast a male villain in a female lead movie. The villain becomes a lot more imposing, not from a sexist standpoint, but because, you know, a man attacking a woman is the ultimate sin. So I could understand why, but it doesn't look right. I mean, hell, even as a kid, I saw it once and never cared to see it again. I kept hoping Ralph Macchio was going to show up in a cameo. No, it was so forgettable. I could barely remember a very few scenes from that movie because it was such an easy to forget film. There was nothing enjoyable, impactful, nothing.
I think the only thing I remember, the two things I remember from it is kind of like her first confrontation with who the villains are going to be in the movie. And then when she does that thing where she like
jumps from log to log or some shit. No, yeah. But yeah, the whole thing with me was just the thought of beating up on women. I was like, how does anybody think this is what? I just, you know, you're taught, you know, you don't hit a woman. And when I'm seeing a movie where these guys are having no problem wanting to kick her ass, I'm like, huh? This isn't like a punk guy kid. I was like, yeah, go beat up the girl. What? Someone else. Now, in the chat room, everybody's mentioned something. I just want to say, I've never seen this. I don't know if either of you have, but I'm definitely going to, after the show is over, check it out. Have you seen something called Sweep the Leg?
Like, what are we talking about here?
I don't know. They're going to have to tell me if this is a documentary or not.
Or it's a...
Yeah, I'm going to wait for somebody to pop up in here. I'll ask them, what is Sweep the Leg? Did you guys say, is this a a movie, an independent movie, is something that we can watch on YouTube. So I know we have a 30-second delay, so it eventually will pop up. But I just looked in the chat for a couple different spots, and somebody was mentioned, like Iceman Traveler said, Sweep the Leg is epic. Recommend everyone check that out later. Yeah, I'll have to wait. I'll have to wait and see. I don't know what that is. Wait, somebody says, for anyone wondering, do a YouTube search, No More Kings Sweep the Leg.
So oh, JS- that's the, that's that, band, right? That's that song. Cause I think they had a song called Zombie Me that I thought was music. Pretty creative.
Okay. JSP just said music video, Sweep the Leg by No More Kings. Oh, okay. Thanks. See, damn it. I'm sorry. See what happens, guys, when I was missing, you guys got me pumped up. I thought there was like some other little thing. It was going to be a quick little 30-minute movie. Damn, nope. There went those hype. I got excited.
The chat has disappointed Joe.
It's like, oh, but it shows what happens when I can't catch every comment and I'm going back and forth. And they probably mentioned it at some point, but my eyes can only go back and forth so many times. So, but, oh, shoot. Well, I guess that pretty much wraps up everything, our thoughts on Karate Kid and our upcoming Cobra Kai. But, yeah,
We wrap. I can see Tyler now. He's like, no, damn it, 30 more minutes.
Oh, no. Not the movie, but the toy line. Did any of you guys have any of the action figures from the 80s toy line from Remco?
No.
Oh man, nope. I only had one of them as a kid, but it was such a because the toy line came out when the second film came out, but they had characters from the first and second film in the toy line. They had the tournament playset, and they had Sato's Dojo playset as well, and they had Johnny, Kreese, Sato, Chosen, Daniel, Miyagi, all with like you
did
know,
they give a big log? Did they give a log or the ice to chop? Anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they
oh no with, shit.
Either Daniel could kick or Miyagi could chop. Like each character came with something they could break or kick.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It's actually like really cool.
Yeah, and I remember I found Kreese and Miyagi at a flea market with Nathan in Dublin. I think back in the late 2000s, we went to the Dublin flea market, and I hadn't seen any of the Karate Kid figures since the 80s when I got Sato. Of all the figures that were there. I got Sato, and I don't remember if maybe it's because that's all they had. Or
that's
what.
Pretty cool.
In the tournament, place it because it came with what's his name? Johnson. The guy who was the referee in the Karate Kid, Pat Johnson. He's also the guy that trained them, and he also worked on the first Ninja Turtles film, worked on the Octagon, and so on and so forth. But it came with an action figure of him with the tournament.
That's cool.
So
yeah, that's
pretty
cool.
If you do a Google search, you can find both play sets and all the action figures. I mean, look, and they're expensive too. Like that's an action figure line. If you want to start collecting that, hope you got a lot of money to dish out.
But they are pretty pricey, huh?
Yeah, they're not cheap. But the sculpts of all everybody's faces look pretty good for a toy line that was released in 1986, I think.
Well, when you say Remco, I have a question for you because I know Remco did a lot of those knockoff type of, you know, Masters of the Universe bodies. Were any of them that similar style, or was it a completely different sculpt body?
Kind of like straightforward with like Battlematic action. Like you could prop Daniel up and then you push a lever and it would chop down. Pretty simplistic. They had like 5 points of articulation. Both arms can move up and down. Both legs can move. The head could turn. That was it.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Okay. All right. No, I've never known that. The one thing I'm not going to mention, because I know I'd be here probably for a while if I start, but at the beginning, you guys were mentioning, hey, anybody remember that horrible Karate Kid game on Nintendo? I do, and I liked it. And I know you both hated it, so I wasn't going to mention. I actually liked the damn game. So
really? There. Why? No, you have to explain why you like it now. You
well, I mean, first because I love the
bar. It was good.
Well, first because I love the movie, but I know a lot of people complained about clunky controls of that game. I didn't find the controls to be clunky at all. I had fun with that. You had to time some of those kicks. It was awkward because I'm sure you, I mean, I know you, Nathan, where you snap where if something ain't right. I bet you had some issues with some of the jumping, the kicks, or some of the spot to spot. I got used to that. So I knew that would probably be the main complaint with most people, but I got used
I mean, to- it is an LJN game, too, and that's most of those games because I had that Wolverine game. I got it for Christmas. I'm sitting there playing it, and I'm just like, man, this isn't that good. But I kept coming back to it and getting better and better at it. So maybe it was one of those things I just didn't – I should have been like Danny and patient and –
See, it's all a lesson. You should have took the lessons from Karate Kid and took it into the game and had patience, Nathan-san, and you would have went great through the game. You would have did good. I mean, I had fun with it.
And to me, that's what made Nathan fun to watch him play video games, to get to see him getting pissed off about stuff, because he would lose his patience about so much stuff.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, if you
should have been here last night, man. Should have been here last night. Jesus.
We'll have to save that for some other time. No, but like one other game real quick, like the Masters of the Universe game that was on Game Boy Advance. I remember every reviewer, oh, the controls are sucky on this. I don't like this game. I played it and I had no trouble with the controls in that Master. I know it was that isometric kind of 3 3/4 over, you know, that kind of different view. I was like, I had fun with the damn game. I enjoyed it. I played it. But hell, everybody's got a different thing. Some people might just lose their patience. And if it thinks it sucks, it sucks. But okay, well, Nathan, before Tyler, if he's anything before he's going to say before we close it up, you'll have to wrap us up.
Oh, man, you're hitting me up with a wrap up again. Tyler's going to sit there and
I'm just going to wait for him to stutter and stammer. And
hey, I mean, I can't botch it as bad as he did with the opening this week. So
I was trying too hard. We're just asking you to do something nice and calm, and I ask you to be cool. We down with it and everything. And
wait, do I need to get my black rim glasses and my cup of coffee like you were doing earlier? To
yeah, you gotta have your trendy like cup of like macchiato extreme latte and your black rim glasses and your whipped hairdo with the shaved sides there. You know, your sweater vest, and you know, check out my YouTube channel, man. I make fun of the Karate Kid Part 2, man. This is great. I got a 20-minute video making fun of why you shouldn't do what they did in the Karate Kid Part 2. Kiss my ass.
Is that an actual video that exists?
No, but there's a bunch of videos of these pretentious douchebags who think like they want to tear apart everything from the 80s, as if like they're so clever and humorous. It's like, oh my god, they've seen stuff that no one else has seen before. You know, it's just like they don't appreciate simplicity movies and the fun, that it ain't all just about nostalgia. A lot of this stuff still really is good. They're just trying to get over by making fun of stuff that have come us off like an easy target. Like someone nowadays making fun of Batman and Robin. All right, how about what you go and give a basketball to a paraplegic and tell him he has to dunk it in 5 seconds or otherwise they lose the game? You know, it's just like, why would you do that? It makes sense.
That is, man, that analogy, the way that you worded that was just perfect.
But I mean, Batman and Robin is such an easy target. Yes, the movie sucks, but for someone to dictate and decide I'm going to devote a 30-minute YouTube video making it, like, we know it's bad. You can't bring anything clever to this. I have no interest in what you have to say. And then when they want to take apart something as good as, like, RoboCop 2, I'm like, why aren't you doing this? It's a good movie. Who the hell are you? You're trying to be cute and funny and get over in popularity on YouTube and be, like, cool on social media. Go to hell.
I don't really know how to follow that up.
Well, we're going to watch it. We like this part. This is my favorite part of the show, is the ending, just watching Nathan get ready to go ahead and close out the show.
One time, Nathan ends up like Garth in Wayne's World, and he's like, do you ever see Scanners? No, Nathan just loses his mind right here and just blows up.
All right, I'll give it a shot. Click the description. We got some links down below. We got the Facebook page. We got the pop culture link, so you can go back and check out all the other episodes. We have the Podbean link there. You have to shuffle through some of the other shows because it doesn't really have a way to filter it. So you can check us out on there, so you can download it and listen to us in the car, or not look at our faces and watch Tyler get beat red and angry at all the Starbucks kids that want to smash RoboCop 2 and get likes on Facebook. If you're new to this and you're checking us out on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe, hit that little bell so you get notifications when we're going live or when I've scheduled this for the next episode. We usually try to do these every Sunday at 2 o'clock. And there it was, 2 o'clock Eastern time.
You just made it.
I slipped on the 2 o'clock and caught myself. It's going to happen every time. I'm getting better at it, though.
Doing fine.
Joe said, this is good.
This is good. Very good.
I'm being for this. Yeah. I love it. I want it next week. Next Sunday.
Yeah, but and if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like leave some comments, leave some suggestions, give us some input. Be like, hey, you guys should do an episode on this at some point. I have an idea for next week that I want to run across you guys when we get towards.
Is this going to involve Tyler getting a poster?
I think I'm trying to remember if he has the poster for what I would like to potentially discuss next week.
Okay. Well, first, hey, before you do your final wrap-ups, again, I want to thank everybody in the chat room for joining us because, hey, I'm going to have to check it out now, this music video that I knew nothing about, so I appreciate you guys doing that and all the comments, and I tried to get to, you know, a lot of your questions that you were doing. And also, it's funny you're talking about next week and topics or future topics. The one Chris Simpson that he said, which unfortunately I wouldn't be able to do, is, well, he said, hey, do something about flea market finds. That ain't gonna happen with me. I found one thing, which I showed you that one time, which was that box set of Battle Armor, Skeletor, and Landshark. Otherwise, there is no flea market finds for Joe in this area. It's baby clothes, tools, and nonsense. There is nothing. And I doubt you two have flea market finds also. So you
have plenty.
Oh, you do? I mean, yeah. Good stuff? You find stuff?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, we found a ton of good shit. Like, that
you're sarcastic, right?
Tyler got signed at Mad Monster was a flea market find.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys been...
A long history of flea market. I mean, my flea market finds go back from when I was a kid, you know, still looking for He-Man toys at flea market. So I've been going to flea... I haven't gone the last couple of years because it's people just keep bringing the same crap back to the flea market.
Yeah, I would say the flea market scene for us has, like... gradually deteriorated to a point that when we do go, it is a lot of the same stuff. And not only that, when there is new stuff and it's like, you know, if it's vintage like He-Man figures or video games, they are priced accordingly.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I mean, for a future episode and at least part of a segment, because I don't think it could, for me, it's not going to go far at all. I will literally be showing you one thing. I'd be interested to see what you guys show, though, and what you have, but that could probably be part of a show, Chris, because I don't know if we can make it last, especially with me.
All discussion, not the whole episode.
That's, I mean, part of it. We could bring something into it. Yeah. You guys will have more, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, thanks for the suggestion. That's actually a really good...
It is.
Especially with it starting to gradually get warmer and spring's around the corner, you know, flea markets and yard sales are going to start picking up again. So, I would love to talk about all that because Tyler and I have a few good stories about some of the finds, some of the stuff that we were going to buy. There was a top loader NES. Tyler wasn't with me, and I'll leave
it
there.
Hold the story for next week. We'll be part of it next week.
Okay. Should I throw out my suggestion for the episode for next week?
Go ahead.
How would you guys feel about talking Tremors?
I do. Tremors?
Okay. Oh, of course he's got that. I can talk first Tremors. Okay. Yeah, I know that I might have not known a lot of the quotes again. Like, Tyler, fucking buries me every week, but... I know Tremors.
You know, if it ain't from Friday the 13th, part 7, I don't know it.
Hey, I want to say one quick thing. See, now, Chris Simpson, you know, I always talk about, you know, I found that Mortal Kombat figure for $9.99. I'm hearing a bad echo. Sorry about that, Nathan. I don't know why. You guys might be hearing it, too. Chris Simpson thought you said Tremors instead of Tremors. But I was going to say, I might not be buying super expensive figures, but for 99 cents over at Target, this cool-ass Nano, it's called.
Can bring to the table. Look at
this is what I can afford, Chris Simpson. While everybody else is buying $30-$40 figures, Joe's getting shit that's for 99 cents at Target. It's nano metal figures, and this is it's Ken, but they have Street Fighter, they have I think they have like DC stuff, and they have wrestlers, and of course they didn't have the one I wanted. They have like Ultimate Warrior, they had Macho Man, but they weren't in stock. I was like, damn, if I could have got the Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man for 99 cents each, I could afford that. But I don't understand how they can sell shit like this so cheap. It's cool, it's carded, it's bubbled, it shows shit. I'm like, that's it. It's like, damn, I felt like a kid again. So there's my big old buy, 99 cents. There you go. That's my way of ending the show before Nathan ends it up. How about that?
Well, I mean, does anyone have final thoughts on Karate Kid?
Great movie. That's my final thought.
Tyler?
It's definitely a top 10 film for me. Where I would rank it, I'd have to kind of tinker around with that. But it's such a legendary film. I've got it on DVD. I've got it on Blu-ray. I've got it on iTunes. It's a movie that it's one of those movies that I own multiple versions of because I like to be able to listen to it in my car on occasion. It's fun to listen to You're the Best Around before going to the gym, or it's just great because it's a damn good film. I mean, it's a flawless film, pretty much. It's just it's a movie that you could watch. You don't have to be, you know, a certain time of year. It's a movie that you could watch any time of the year: Christmas, summer, fall, the day after Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, 4th of July, or August 2nd. You know, any day of the year, the Karate Kid, it's a timeless film. And I love how the film continuously celebrated. There's, you know, the cast is always doing conventions and meeting fans. You can buy merchandise with Cobra Kai's logo on it, the Miyagi logo on there, quotes of the movie. I do have a Cobra Kai t-shirt I couldn't find. I've got two of them, and I couldn't find them for the show, so I just had to settle for the original poster here. But it's a film that I love that just
continues. Oh, my God, I just got an amazing idea. Cobra Khan as Cobra Kai in a shirt. And oh, my God, I got a vision of what I'm going to create. I'm going to do a crossover of Cobra Khan with the Cobra Kai logo. Oh, shit, this just came to me. Thanks, Tyler.
Like Camo Con, where you've got, like I said, the Snake Man logo, you've got the Cobra look, Cobra Kai logo on his chest.
I got something pretty cool that oh shit, you guys will have to wait and see. This just came
in. The Bill Conti soundtrack kicks in as Joe has that epiphany of like.
You guys, you know my ideas, they'll start spewing and just going crazy in my head. So I got something, I'm not going to even say it, but yes, something's
coming. Yeah, no.
Because you know what, I'm betting that Joe is not going to do this, because I've heard plenty of good ideas that Joe's talked about doing, and he never did any of them.
Well, thanks, you shit. Now, I got one quick last question for both of you. What do you have holding up your phone or whatever the hell it is you guys are using to record? Do you got like a stand, or what do you guys got that's holding up your
metal stand that Bug sent me? It's something you get on Amazon. It's meant to hold phones or mobile devices, iPads or whatever. It's just this piece of metal that kind of bends and then curls up for you to hold the device in place. And I've got something kind of propping my mobile up, so that way it keeps it up straight as opposed to leaning back at an angle.
All right.
I just have my webcam that's just resting on top of the monitor.
All right. Well, I got somebody wanted to see what I do, because I've mentioned this before. I don't know if I'm going to be able to show you. I always tell everybody this is my setup. I have, of course, my laptop here to where I can watch on YouTube and read all the comments. Up here is my iPad, whatever the hell you want to call it, and a mirror's in back of it so I can watch you guys live, but it's in reverse. And what's holding it is a shadow beast. So I'm going to take my mirror, and if it shows up, I want you guys to see my shadow beast that's holding my device. But you guys got to tell me if you can see when I do this. Can you see in the reflection or no?
Kind of. Well, I'll stop talking. So you'll have to keep talking so people
can. I'll keep talking, and you got to tell me. Well, I don't know if I should go up or down, because I'm trying to get that shadow beat.
I saw it.
Can you see it right now, or is it not showing?
It's barely showing.
Okay, can you guys see it now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's it. My shadow beast is holding that portable device, and in the back of the portable device, on top of that box for the Granomir, I have this mirror. So there you go. That's how I see everything that's going on.
We're just going to have to do like a Beyond Retro Patreon where some of the listeners can like donate, and we'll have to give them like a special perk, and we'll just give all the money to you so you can buy like new equipment.
Nah, but then Joe would check it because he doesn't accept gifts from people.
There you go. Oh, I just had to show you guys that. Okay. All right, Nathan, now do your final closing. You told everybody to subscribe. You told them to go ahead and hit the share button and everything else. And
I with the 2 p.m. Eastern thing. I'll give some final thoughts on Karate Kid. It's going to basically be the same thing that Tyler said. It's having not seen it in a good 10, 12 years, revisiting it. It's just still so good. It holds up. I recommend if you haven't seen it, please go watch it. Do yourself a favor. It is a fantastic film with great music. The story flows perfectly. And we didn't really touch on the scene with Miyagi. Tyler kind of brought it up with the anniversary and why he's drunk. And then you find out and just that.
That was sad, yeah.
Talked about that more, but you guys get, Tyler wants to talk 30 minutes more.
I actually avoided it because I hate sad parts, and I was trying to avoid that whole part, to be honest. Every time I see it in the movie, it makes me feel sad.
I don't mind talking about it. That's a scene that doesn't depress me. It makes it more impactful and the rest of the movie that much more, you know, enjoyable. And of course it is emotional when you watch that. And of course at the very end when Daniel wins and you see the look of pure joy on Miyagi's face when he just smiles. So it's not like watching Edward Scissorhands where you just go into this deep, dark depression. Like, why couldn't he just stay with Winona Ryder? Why did he have to go back to the castle?
I'll let you know, I'm not good with sad stuff. Even little parts.
But the Karate Kid is not a sad movie. It does bring a tear to my eye, you know, because of the epic, you know, the big victory at the end of the film, you know, because it is, you just got it. He finally, especially when Johnny, you know, grabs a hold of Daniel's knee and then elbows it and the music kicks in. This really, very dramatic. You got Tommy over to the side, getting him a body bag, you know, laughing, and Kreese is looking very smug. And to see the Miyagi's and the music's building and building and building and building and building and then boom, you know, just... And then your nipples are hard and you're done. You're just finished.
Hell, I mean, even when you talk about, like you said, the crane kick, you know, when you think about first he's being taught everything without knowing it. And then, you know, when Miyagi is doing that crane technique in the background, you know his intentions are, I hope, of course, Daniel is watching this. And then to know that Daniel, like you said, is going off on his own and doing that and is learning that, just like with everything, he's learning without really being taught to do it and know how to do it and to pull it off at the end. It was great. So yeah, I like that. It's like everything Daniel's being taught, it's taught without knowing he's being taught. And the crane was the definitive thing that he was taught without ever really being shown it. Just seeing it in the background and trying to copy and seeing what he could do. But all right. Well, damn it. Okay, now wrap it up, Nathan, before I go nuts.
We ought to come back and commentary for Karate Kid, you know, once Joe gets stuff together and can actually watch a movie where he's currently sitting at.
Thanks.
It would be nice to be able to do a commentary so that way we could elaborate more on Miyagi's, you know, big moment in the film that got him an Oscar nomination. But we can't do it because Joe is just like, I can't play movies down here, man. You know, just
hashtag poor ass Joe, because the way my things are set up, I can't do things like I'd want. So,
well, you know what? The commentary wouldn't necessarily have to rely on us visually. We're watching the movie. You know, you could always flip it over, and we could just get your icon, and we're just, you know, because the commentary people aren't tuning in to watch us visually. They would tune in to listen to our commentary of the film. So we wouldn't have to absolutely show our faces during.
No, it's just a matter of I'd have to be able to, well, yeah, whatever. I'd have to figure out a way. Okay, sure. All right, Nathan, go ahead. Damn it. Wrap us up. We're taking a half hour.
Tyler's like, oh, yeah. God. Thanks for everyone tuning in, being in the chat.
Thanks.
There you go. I don't know. Joe always does like the closing C a bit. You guys keep passing me
go out here.
No, where do you go from there?
Okay, well, I'll do it and then I'll pass it to you because you got to do the click and the button to shut us off.
Final thoughts each and here we're repeating it. Okay, final thoughts on the final thoughts, you know. It's like all these ridiculous pregame shows for any NFL Sunday. Like, how many pregame shows do you need for one damn game?
Yeah, because Nathan, remember, you got to be the one that does the click and the soft button. Okay,
no, I'll do that when everyone's like, all right, yeah, bye. All I have to do is click.
All right, well, we'll do that because I'm going to say, again, everyone in the chat room, thank you for joining us. We hope we see you next week here, and we'll do definitely a little bit talk about flea market finds. We'll do the thing that Nathan said, which my mind is so quick, it's already gone. We'll talk about Tremors.
Tremors.
Yes, see, it came. For a second, I lost it, but yeah, so we'll do that. So until next time, we'll see you guys next week.
Tyler's not saying anything.
I nodded.
He nodded? I couldn't see it. He's still frozen. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for joining us.